I so appreciated what we got to participate in last Sunday, where we joined in that energy that had begun on the World Day of Prayer. It always touches me, that experience of people all over holding a place of prayer together, really letting that spiritual energy come and uplift this human experience that we're journeying through. Now, 10 days after World Day of Prayer is the International Day of Peace, which is tomorrow. And so this is sponsored by the United Nations, and they make a beautiful effort to really invite people, organizations all around the world to make that commitment to hold a day where we really hold a consciousness of peace together as humankind. And so it would be my heart's desire that we make that conscious intention to join in that experience tomorrow, to really hold that consciousness of peace with everyone. So the question then becomes, how do you get there? And I realized within our culture, we have a very interesting concept of peace. Basically, we see it as inevitable. And we honor it with the phrase, rest in peace. And I looked it up and found out for hundreds of years, we've been putting this on tombstones as though the idea of peace is really, well, when it's finally over, you get to quit struggling. I'm not sure that's true. It's so deep in our experience, as I was thinking of it, reminded me, one of the fellows in our men's group was sharing with me that he was trying to figure out the Uber thing. Okay, so he'd gotten the app on his phone, and so he hit it, and the Uber driver came and picked him up. And I think he was going to the BART station. So he was having his first Uber experience. And the guy goes along, and he realized he hadn't thought about the tip part. He wasn't quite sure how that worked. So he just reached forward and touched the guy on the shoulder to ask him the question. And the guy jumped and cut across a lane of traffic and slammed on his brakes. And fortunately, everybody around was careful and they didn't have an accident. But it was shocked and said to the fellow, I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to startle you. And the guy said, I overreacted. But you need to understand, this is my first day as an Uber driver. He said, for the last 20 years, I've been driving a hearse. Different experience when we're trying to do peace in the middle of life. So if we don't want to have the patience to wait to the end, okay, there's some ways we can get to peace right in the middle of it. Now, one of the most, probably something that I'm sure most of us work with on a regular basis is the experience of meditation. It is a wonderful way of creating a consciousness of peace in our lives. And if your experience is anything like mine and you're a meditator, you intend to be real regular with it. And we'll let it go at that. Now, what happens is, let me just share with you something I've found from Charles Fillmore. And what this is Unity's co-founder. And what Fillmore is doing is he's speaking to people who have a challenge in their life and inviting them how to get to that in-depth connection to spirit, that place in prayer that is deeper and takes us beyond the challenges that are there. The first step is to get still. Be still and know that I am God. To get still, the body must be relaxed and the mind quieted. Center the attention within. There is a quiet place within us all. And by silently saying over and over, "Peace, be still," we shall enter that quiet place and a great stillness will pervade our whole being. A great stillness will pervade our whole being. Now, because I know that many of you do have meditation as a part of your life and do that regularly, I know that you know this stillness. Now, because we might meditate for 20 minutes doesn't necessarily we get 20 minutes of stillness, but maybe we get two or three sometimes. That's pretty good. And sometimes I notice I had to kind of learn, what's the relationship between this meditative experience and real peace? In my family, we learned to meditate. We were coming out of our teen years into our early 20s. And we learned it as a family. I have a twin sister, and so, you know, one of the things when we talk and connect, it'd be our experience of meditation. She told me about an experience with my mom in which she was talking to her about things taking place in her world, and mom asked, you know, "How's your meditation?" And my sister went into this explanation that she really wasn't sure that meditation was working. She'd probably been doing it for several years at that point. And she explained that she had that difficulty that I know if we meditate, we've all experienced, of finding that she'd sit down and try to get quiet and do the affirmation or the prayer or whatever it was that helped her get into that inner place. And yet, even after this long, so many thoughts would come in and everything that would disturb that quietness. So they went on, and Mom asked her about you know, how things were taking place in her family, how her work was going. And she said, "Well, those things are going good. You know, the family's good. You know, I'm enjoying the job. I've got a good relationship with the people around me." My mom said to her, "Your meditation is working fine." Because meditation is that different way of peace. It's not that this moment is about my peace. It's that I make a relationship and a connection with this which brings its peace into the life that I'm living. And that closeness, that connection is what meditation gives us. So it is, to me, the long journey into deep peace. Now, there's another part of life in which we could use a little peace. Okay, I love the meditative experience. I like sitting in my chair. I have to get out of that chair, unfortunately. And the world that I meet when I get out of that chair isn't trying to meditate with me. It's got other agendas. And it gets very busy. And my mind gets very busy with it. And so the challenge then becomes, how there in that world do I bring a consciousness of peace? And we know that process basically is transformation. As the ability to transform ourselves by connecting with a higher state of consciousness there in the world in which all that busyness is taking place. Now there's a symbol that I often relate to in getting out of that busy state of consciousness and getting to that place of connection. So I want to share it with you through the words of the wonderful man that brought it alive. Mr. Milne, the one who gave us the beautiful stories of Winnie the Pooh. Now, this is the first Pooh story. Okay, so in this, Milne, as the father, is talking to Christopher Robin, the little boy, and telling him the stories about him and Pooh and those of the Hundred Acre Wood. Now, he talks about the time when Pooh is out there walking along and he hears a sound. First of all, Pooh said to himself, that buzzing noise means something. You don't get a buzzing noise like that, just buzzing and buzzing without it meaning something. If there's a buzzing noise, somebody's making a buzzing noise, and the only reason for making a buzzing noise that I know of is because you're a bee. And then he thought another long time and said, and the only reason for being a bee that I know of is to make honey. And then he got up and said, the only reason for making honey is so I can eat it. So he began to climb the tree. Now, Pooh climbs up that tree, branch by branch. He's getting very close to the sound of those bees. Nearly there now, he just stood on that branch. Crack. Oh, help, said Pooh, as he dropped 10 feet on the branch below him. It all comes, I suppose, he decided as he said goodbye to the last branch, spun around 3 times, and flew gracefully into a gorse bush. It all comes of liking honey so much. Oh, help. He crawled out of the gorse bush, brushed the prickles from his nose, and began to think again. And the first person he thought of was Christopher Robin. Here begins the unfolding of a beautiful set of spiritual instruction on our relationship to Christopher Robin. Christopher is the Christ bearer. In these stories, to me again and again, Christopher Robin becomes that picture of this spiritual self, of this which in its fullness connects us to the allness of life, to its wisdom, its purpose. So Pooh goes to Christopher Robin, and Pooh has a plan. Okay, now if you'll notice, when we begin our relationship with Spirit, we're not unlike Pooh. We want the honey. And we got bees and trees in the way. So we go to that Christopher Robin to help us work our plan to get our honey. And Pooh's plan involved a balloon. So they went out with the blue balloon, and Christopher Robin took his gun, just in case, as he always did. And Winnie the Pooh went to a very muddy place he knew of and rolled until he was black all over, and then when the balloon was blown up as big, and Christopher Robin and Pooh were both holding on to the string, Christopher Robin suddenly let go. And Pooh Bear floated gracefully up into the sky and stayed there, level with the top of the tree and about 20 feet away from it. Hooray, Christopher Robin shouted. Isn't that fine, shouted Winnie the Pooh. What do I look like? You look like a bear holding on to a balloon. Not, said Pooh anxiously, like a small black cloud in a blue sky. Not very much. Oh, well, perhaps from up here it looks different. And as I can say, you never can tell with bees. There was no wind to blow him nearer to the tree. So there he stayed. He could see the honey. He could smell the honey. But he couldn't quite reach the honey. Have you ever been hanging from that balloon? You can smell it, you can reach it, but not quite. And then there's this other thing that begins to happen. After a little while, he crawled down to Christopher Robin. He said in a loud whisper, "Hello, I think the bees suspect something." "What sort of thing?" "I don't know, but something tells me they're suspicious. Perhaps they think you're after their honey." It may be that. You never can tell with bees. So to further his plan and the deception on the bees, Pooh has Christopher Robin run home and get an umbrella. Well, now, if you walk up and down with your umbrella saying, "Tut, tut, it looks like rain," I shall do what I can to sing a little cloud song, such as a cloud might sing. Go. So while Christopher Robin walked up and down, wondering if it would rain, Winnie the Pooh sang, "How sweet to be a cloud, floating in the blue. Every little cloud always sings aloud." The bees were still buzzing as suspiciously as ever. Some of them indeed left their nest and flew around the cloud as it began the second verse of the song. One bee sat down on the nose of the cloud for a moment and then got up again. "Christopher, ow, Robin," called the cloud. "Yes, I've been thinking, and I've come to a very important decision. These are the wrong sort of bees." "Are they?" "Quite the wrong sort. So I think they would make the wrong sort of honey, don't you?" "Wouldn't they?" "Yes, I think I shall come down." "How?" Winnie the Pooh hadn't thought about this. If he let go of the string, he would fall, bump, and he didn't like that idea. So he thought for a long time. Then he said, "Christopher Robin, you must shoot the balloon with your gun. Have you got your gun?" "Of course I have. But if I do that, it will spoil the balloon." "If you don't," said Pooh, "I will have to let go, and that will spoil me." When you put it like that, Christopher Robin's how it was, and aimed very carefully at the balloon and fired. "Ow," said Pooh. "Did I miss?" "You didn't exactly miss," said Pooh, "but you missed the balloon." "I'm so sorry." And so Christopher Robin fired again, and this time hit the balloon, and the air came out slowly. And Winnie the Pooh floated down to the ground. If you're involved with the bees, the way out is to float gently down to the ground to be with Christopher Robin. Christopher Robin and Pooh walked home through the 100-acre wood together. There's something so simple in that simple image of coming down from all our involvement with our bees. All those things that get our mind into a state called not peace. It's kind of a wonderful thing on the spiritual journey to just check and say, peace or not peace? Where am I? And realize, and this is the amazing gift, that we have the ability at any time to get down on the ground with Christopher Robin and journey at peace. At some point, we all figure out they're the wrong sort of bees. You know, a lot of us have chased a lot of bees and a lot of honey. But what we learn is that there's no fulfillment there. The fulfillment is down on the ground with Christopher Robin. It sounds simple, and it is simple. And it is not difficult to attain. But because it's simple, it's important to not make the mistake of not perceiving it as profound. Because when we return to who we really are, we are about the very work that we came here to do. We get to connect with that peace that's within us. as Christopher Robin is a symbol of that Christ self, so is Jesus in the Gospels. From the Gospel of John, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." That's what we experience walking home with Christopher Robin. "My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." It's very simple. And it is not difficult. I have found, and you know, if we go into all the great religious traditions, at the heart of each one, there is a focus on prayer as that connecting link into the place of peace. There is a prayer that I have just gone to again and again because for me it's been so effective. And it calls me there, no matter what is taking place. It's from the St. Francis prayer, "Make me an instrument of your peace. Make me an instrument of your peace." Join me.
"Make me an instrument of your peace."
Again.
"Make me an instrument of your peace."
What a way to leave those bees. Think we can do that this week? Do it tomorrow, World Day of Peace, when we get all not peace. "Make me an instrument of your peace." Just take that deep breath and realize that the power here is not that it's a prayer or that it's a special set of words. The power here is the sincerity of our hearts. If we want to move from all of that to that center place, that is the power, the sincerity that we put into these simple words. "Make me an instrument of your peace." Draws us right to our hearts. It draws us to that connection and that beautiful consciousness of peace. Again.
"Make me an instrument of your peace."
Feel that beautiful shift. Again.
"Make me an instrument of your peace."
And again.
"Make me an instrument of your peace."
Right in the middle of all the bees, there is a very real alternative. It's called peace. Bless you.